Yo.
What's up, bro?
What's good? How are you?
Nothing. Is John already recording already?
I see that.
Yo, so I'm gonna get straight into it, and I'm gonna kind of go over my reason for asking you to be on here, and then, you know, I'm gonna let you enjoy the rest of the night. I know you just getting home from work, and you got the kids and stuff like that. So I ain't gonna hold you too long, bro. And if you gotta go, we always can pick up at a later time, and I can just, you know, put everything together.
All right, bro. No worries.
All right. So, all right. Thank you for everyone for joining me on another episode of Melendez. I have a awesome guest with me today, Mr. Christopher Hernandez. How you doing today?
I'm doing all right, brother man. How about you?
Good, man. Just sitting here, you know, in my own time from work myself. And I know we've been trying to catch up. No, the thing is, we always trying to catch up, I feel like.
Well, most definitely. I mean, it's hard. You know how it is. You know, you get caught up in your own life, the regular day-to-day routine. Sometimes it's hard to keep up with your friends and family as much as you like to. But I'm right. Big on, you know, the people that respect it and the people that move the same way. When y'all do link up or y'all do have that chance to talk and catch up, it's like nothing ever changed. That's the best kind of vibe there is.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of what I've been living. I feel like that rubbed off from you to me, because I feel like that's just how we've always been, like, you know, especially just to my audience, to give a kind of a background who this man is to me. Chris is somebody I met working at T-Mobile, and I transferred to his store. And off the bat, I just knew that this was somebody that was going to be my bro for life. And I feel like we all always like the same stuff. If it's not anime, if it's video games, if it's our love for our family. Well, no, when I met you, you didn't have no kids yet.
Nope. Nope, you had the kids. I didn't have it yet.
Yeah,
I was still in college.
Yeah. Yeah, you was at Temple.
Yep, is that Temple?
And what made me well, I know you had said to me, Julian, like, when I'm gonna be on, I'm a little upset. I just told you, I was like, bro, I'm waiting for the right type of season,
yeah,
to add to, you know, to the mix. And I feel like, you know, it's a perfect time. You know, I'm getting ready to put out this season two of the series, and you know, of course, I knew that when this season hit that I was going to have you on here, because there's so many things that we talk about, you know, through our own experiences in life, that you know, I feel like it's other men like us that are going through the same stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah, and it's everybody has to feel comfortable with you know, having these type of relationships with other men, and you know, knowing it's okay to tell, you know, another guy that you love him, you know, doesn't make you any type of sissy or anything. It actually, you know, for me, it reassures me that you know, I always don't need the love of a woman to make me feel whole, you know. No, when I hear I love you, like when you say it to me or I say it to you, I know where it's coming from. I know, and I know, you know, where it's going to go, you know.
Right. I think that's something that a lot of people need, you know. It's okay to be strong, and it's okay to be, you know, a lone wolf. It's okay to, you know, keep a lot of things to yourself. But every so often you need, you know, some kind of support, whether. And for men, you see a lot more about it lately on social media, but I feel like it's just been becoming more of a thing this year, is our mental health. And I have a lot of friends, and me, you know, I went through my own stage of depression myself, but it's very good to have somebody that's in your corner that, even if you don't need them to talk, you just need them to listen. Sometimes that's the best kind of help you can give somebody, is just be there to listen. You don't really have to say much. Just let that person vent. Try and understand where they're coming from before you respond. I say this a lot in my life whether it be my professional or personal life, there is a difference between listening to understand and listening to respond. And I think that a lot of people need to learn the difference between the two, not to be, you know, any kind of way about it, but just it'll help you through your life, whether that be your personal life, your professional life. Once you learn to just sit back and actually listen without the, you know, not listening, waiting to have a rebuttal or waiting for you to be able to say what you want to say. Just actually listen, because it's a lot of times we might think we know where a person's going with their conversation or their talk track, and they might go a completely different way within the next couple words. Another key thing there is if it's a face-to-face kind of interaction, read their body language, you know, see, you know, what they're really saying with their body versus what they're really saying, what's coming out of their mouth. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times you can take that a different way as well. So I think it's good for us as men to have somebody that's just on our same wavelength, or just have somebody in our corner to just be like, yo, I need you today. Like, are you free? I want to vent to you about something. Or even you, before you were about to start this podcast, when you ran it by me, the idea like, yo, this is what I want to do. I feel like I need to do this for myself. I feel like I need to do this for the culture. Like, it was something you felt strongly. And I was just like, hey, what do you need me to do? How can I help? You know, when do you want to start it? How are you going to do it? You know what I mean? Like, you need that positive reinforcement. And no matter what you're looking to do, obviously, within reason, you know, I'm not going to be positive if you tell me you're about to go do something crazy, but within reason. So I definitely appreciate you on. And yeah, I just wanted to shed that light. I agree with everything you were saying. So I think it's definitely a strong point to have, you know, brothers, but really treat them as such.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like it's very important. I remember when I first was going, you know, going to start this, and I was, you know, unsure and scared. And, you know, I really hit up. I mean, I talked to a lot of people, but I feel like, you know, I don't know, just the way when we do talk, it's something about your voice and your tone that reassures me on whatever I'm saying, or if it doesn't, it kind of points me in the right direction, you know? So I feel like when I did talk to you and you said what you said about it, it was something that I was like, all right, cool. All right. I got the last nod. I'm good to go. Like, this is my, cause I don't know. I feel like every time you put your mind to something, if it's big or small, you know, you always come through at the end of the light, you know? And I feel like that's the positivity that, you know, without you saying it, that I get that, so I can keep moving and be a better person, you know, on a day-to-day basis.
I appreciate that. I mean, I appreciate that you're comfortable enough and you value my advice or my opinion, before you make decisions in your own life. I mean, that speaks volumes for our relationship. I think a lot of times, something I also try and tell people is like, when somebody comes to you with an idea of a future endeavor, something what they want to do, doesn't matter if you agree with it or not. Doesn't matter if it's something you wouldn't do yourself, or maybe, you know, it sounds a little bit like far-fetched to you, the idea. If you see they're being passionate about it, they're coming to you like, hey, I have this concept, I have this idea, this is what I want to do. The phrase you should never say to that person is, are you sure that's what you want to do? Because when you say that to somebody, it comes off in such a negative way that even if you're saying it out of the kindness and the generosity of your heart, like you're just like, are you sure? To that person, it comes off like you don't agree, or like, you know what I mean? Like it's a negative thing, and you don't ever want to be that person, because even if you don't fully agree with the way that somebody's presenting their idea or information to you, or the final outcome of it, hey, listen, we're not here to tear each other down. If they came to you, they came to you for a purpose. Build them up, you know? And if it doesn't work out for them for whatever issues you were thinking about when they brought it to your attention, that's okay. You be there when it doesn't work out. God forbid it doesn't work out, you know what I mean? And you help them through that stage in their life too, in that situation. So I just think that's something like, it resonates big with me. I could share a personal story with you with that. So when I got engaged to my fiance and I told my mom, her response to me
was, are you sure that's what you want to do? Not congrats. Not, oh, okay. Not, I'm happy for you. Like, in the moment, her being my mother, obviously, you know, she said, now we spoke about it. I let her know where I was coming from. And she said, now she was just, you know, a little bit in shock. She had nothing against my fiance. She just didn't see it coming. And she just felt like, as my mom, she should be able to express, like, you know, are you, you know, make sure that it's what I want to do. But if somebody comes to you with something like that and they're all excited, you know, that's the last thing you really want to say. Even if you want to address it on a one-on-one situation after the fact, do that. Be excited in the moment, give them their praise, give them their props. And then if there's something you really need to get off your chest, I feel like just, you know, have that one-on-one with them at a later time and express it that way. So I just wanted to put that out there. I feel like that's just a little bit of advice that might help anybody out in the world. You know, think about what you're going to say before you say it. But that phrase right there, that will kill you, anybody's mood.
Well, the good thing about that, and I'm going to share experience for me, because it happened to me as well, too. But, you know, now you know that when your kids get older, that you're not going to be that parent to make them feel that way. You know, and I feel like that's the biggest thing that our generation has to do such a better job at, is making sure that whatever our parents' influences were, you know, aren't affecting the way, you know, we influence on our children. You know, if that's, you know, now or even when they get older, you know, because when they get older, I mean, you know, my opinion is that they're not kids anymore. You know, I mean, they're still my child, but I don't have to do as much as I have to do now. But right. I want to make sure that, you know, again, I'm seasoning our relationship and I'm not doing things that's going to undermine or devalue what they're trying to do in life, because at the end of the day, no, I don't know. I feel like I did my job. You know, I done my job to give them the tools to be successful in life. You know, after that is your way to make, you know, your way out of it. And, you know, of course, you know, we're always going to be there to guide you. But now where I have to do 100% of everything, that's not what it is anymore. And I feel like when kids get a certain age, you know, parents start forgetting about them, you know?
Right.
You know, that's like when I got married, and you know, I got married to someone where, you know, who I dated in high school, and we started, you know, dating again, you know, let's just say November, December, and then we got married that following March, you know. And I could see the look on my parents' face. Not my mom. My mom was happy, you know, but I could see the look on my dad, my stepmom parents, I mean, on their faces. And it was disheartening, because then it made me feel like I can't really have my relationship around y'all. You get what I'm saying?
Right. Like, you can't be happy. Like, you went into it expecting them to be excited for you, and they kind of were just like, oh.
I mean, I feel like that's the least you could do for your kids, is be happy for them. You know, be their fan. You know, Absolutely. If they come to you with something that's showing, like, you know, that they're excited about something, if it's big or small, you don't want to undermine them, because then that could be their dream, you know. And every time something happens, then they're thinking about how your face looked or how your response was, like you just said to me, you know.
Absolutely. And I agree with that 100%, because growing up, like, I have one of my family members who's very successful, and that's great for him. But it kind of was like when I was, you know, in my preteen stages, and even like in my teenage stages, going through high school, trying to figure out what exactly do I want to do after school? What do I want to go to college for, if that was the route that I chose? One of my family members that I looked up to because of his own success, it actually came to backfire a little bit, because it came to be one of those things where if it wasn't something that he would do, then it was wrong. You know what I mean? So I would pitch ideas to him that I would have. Or he would ask, you know, what I've been doing. And when I would express it to him, it was always coming back from a negative place. Like, everything I was doing wasn't good enough. And I feel like you said, Julian, it's very important to, especially for our kids, to be supportive in, I want to say, almost all of their endeavors. I know there's going to be certain things that, based off of your own beliefs, lifestyle, religious background, whatever it is,
that you can't, you know, 100% support. That's going to happen from time to time. But the main thing is, I learned, it took me a long time to learn it. And I say a long time, I'm only 28, but it took me 28 years. Like, and I learned in the past, I want to say 5 years, the most important thing is to be happy. And I'm not even saying that to be cliche. I mean that, you know, like I said earlier, I went through a year of me just going through a severe depression for a whole year. And
like, yeah, I remember you telling me.
Yeah, like today, the person that I am today, I can actually speak on it. Whereas like before, I wasn't even like, I would deny it. Like, nah, I was fine. I'm chilling. You know, because like as a black man, you have, especially a black man with kids, you can't show your own weakness. You know what I mean? You try not to show weakness. You try not to show emotion. And then especially with children, you don't want your negativity to come across to them. And I have young kids, you know, my kids are 5 and 2. So I have young kids. I don't want my son, who's my 5-year-old, to start, you know, reciprocating some of my negative energy and attributing to what he wants to do. You know, so anything he tells me he wants to do, like, I even think his Halloween costume choices are pretty ridiculous. He told me he wanted to be a bottle of ketchup. In my head, I'm like, absolutely not. Why would you do that? But you know what? That's what he wants to make him happy.
That's his imagination.
Right. You know? Go ahead. Go ahead, Chase. Be a bottle of ketchup if that's what you want to do. But yeah, so I'm just agreeing with what you were saying earlier, just elaborating a little bit on it. I think it's, like you said, 100% important to support your kids, fans, friends, family, but also most importantly, your children and whatever endeavors that they're looking to pursue, as long as it's not, you know, obviously putting them in danger.
And let me kind of turn. I know we went over the other day what we were going to talk about, and you know, we're getting there. But I wanted to ask you, you know, given the fact that you have a 5-year-old son and a 2-year-old daughter, you know, I know from you know, my experience, you know, my 3 children are by all different women, you know, mm-hmm. and I know like my last season, I delved into this with one of my other guests, and I wanted to kind of ask you, you know, given that you know, I know the person that you had your son with, and you know, the woman that you are, you know, going to marry, that you have your daughter with, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. How's that, if you don't mind me asking, like, how do you feel like it's been but having to co-parent, you know, I don't know if I want to say the word efficiently, but
I know what you mean.
Yeah, how do you feel like it's been like co-parenting, you know, having a son, you know, with somebody else, but you know, also having a daughter with, you know, somebody else. But you know, I'm glad you are marrying that person, so you're not out here having all these damn kids. But
yeah, I mean, it's,
you know,
I've been blessed, to say the least. I've really been blessed. I know a lot of people that aren't lucky enough or blessed enough to be in the situation that I'm in as far as co-parenting. Mm-hmm. Both of my child's moms, they get along flawlessly. They communicate with each other. Mm-hmm. They text each other. You know, they're not, to say, you know, besties where they're talking to each other every day just randomly. Buddy. But they do have a little bit of a relationship outside of the children, to the point where they're recommending who they should go see to go get their nails done. You know what I mean? Little things like that. But I can be at work.
Wow.
And, you know, my son's mom, she'll be like, she may have something that comes up where she needs to drop Chase off to my house. She won't reach out to me. She'll reach out to Jess, my fiance. She'll reach out to her because she's been staying home since, you know, pandemic. Her hotel she was working in closed and everything. So she's been home. So she'll literally reach out to her, and then I'll find out later on in the day or within like an hour or so, oh yeah, by the way, Leah's dropping Chase off. Or I'll call her when I go to lunch from, you know, work, and I'll hear him in the background. I'll be like, is Chase there? And she's like, oh yeah, Leah dropped him off 10 minutes ago. And I'm just like, oh cool. Like, I'm the last to find out certain things. So
for me, I that's what I, the best way I can put it is that I'm blessed to have, that they have that relationship. It didn't always,
that's why you're so damn happy.
Yeah, it didn't start there. You know, it didn't always start there. You know, it's definitely rocky at first. Year one, it was a little bit more difficult for my daughter's mom, for my fiance Jess, just because at the time we didn't have Giselle. So Chase at this point was 2 years old, between one and two years old. And seeing the,
it was probably fresh and new, right, and everything.
You know,
right?
She never dated a, you know, a guy that had a child before. I was the first one. So she was learning how to, you know, adapt to that change. And it took her a while, you know, to get comfortable with the idea of me still having a relationship with my son's mom. Just because, and I made it very clear to her from the beginning of the relationship, like, my son is the most important person to me. Not taking anything away from you, but he comes first before me, before you, and before his mom. However,
set them
in order for me to have a successful, healthy relationship with him, that means I need to have a healthy relationship with his mom as best as I can. You know, we're not, you know, hanging out outside of anything or talking to each other all crazy, nothing inappropriate at all. It was all, anytime we spoke, it was always, you know, about him. And then every once in a while, you know, just cordially, like, oh, how's your mom doing? I spent, you know, Leah. So I spent 4.5 years with her. My entire, you know, college, fresh out of high school, college career, I spent with her. So, you know, we still checked in with each other from time to time just to see how each other was doing. So definitely in the beginning, it was an adjustment period for her. Like I said, never having dealt with that situation before and not really, you know, at the time, they weren't on good terms, to say the least. Neither one of them liked each other, of course. But after, you know, it took Leah to see the love and the, you know, how Jess was with her son, for her to be like, yo, you know what? Let me be the big person too here. She's, you know, Chris is comfortable enough to leave him with her, and she's taking care of him. She's going out of her way to do things for him, X, Y, and Z. What am I really giving her a hard time over? You know, and it takes some adulting, and it takes some growing up and some self-reflection to come back. And, you know, it's hard to self-reflect. How do you know there's a problem with you if no one brings it to your attention? Right. You know, that's a very hard thing to do, but she was able to do it. So kudos to her. And yeah, literally her and Jess, I mean, like I said, Chase is 5, he'll be 6 next month. And there haven't been, not, you know, of course, there's little things that we probably all do that annoy each other here and there. I'm not saying it's all happy-go-lucky, but I don't have any kind of crazy drama going on. Everybody's cool. You know, she's had boyfriends since then, obviously, and we've met, you know. And my only thing with that is I just reciprocate the same energy. You know, I trust you enough to know that if you're bringing this dude around my son, then you're vetting him, that you trust him enough to be around him. And because I trust you, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt until you can't anymore. And I just feel like that. But like I said, those things take time. So, you know, again, in a nutshell, I'm definitely blessed to be in the situation that I'm in. I know not a lot of people, you know, unfortunately aren't able to do the same thing, just because there's so many, you know, so much pettiness involved with children. And, you know, as a Black man, it's always expected that you're not going to be there, or you're not going to provide, or you're not going to do this. And I wasn't raised like that. Right. You weren't raised like that. Clearly, like, that's not what we're about. And it, you know, it sucks for some of my brothers that really have to go through the struggle to really just be the father that they want to be for their children, you know?
Yeah. And, to piggyback everything out, you know, everything that you're saying, it's, you know, I'm really happy for, you know, you and your kids, because the only people that are really going to hurt is them, you know? So when you have a bunch of people who want to be adults and want to do the things that help out, let's help out Chris, you know, we don't need him. Let's do this ourselves. You know, God forbid Chris goes out, you know, something happens to him. You know, you leave this earth, you know, you gotta make sure, you know, they still be cordial so that both of your kids
are growing up together, and they know who their siblings are, and it's just how it should be, man. It really should. It's just how it should be.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's great because I get to see my kids all the time, you know. And for the record, like, just for the people that are at least tuning in or will be tuning in, I'm not on any kind of child support or anything like that for either of my kids. And the reason for that is because, wow, like I said, with my son's mom, we were together for so long. She knew the kind of person that I was, regardless of what happened between her and I. You know, there was never a time that she could say, I need this, or Chase needs this. And if there was a time where she like, okay, you know, maybe he needs new shoes, or, you know what I mean? It was never a question about, okay, well, I'll get it when I can. Nah, that was the first thing on my priority list. Right. And it just became so comfortable and so regular that it was just like the only thing I really paid for, that I would essentially send her money for, would be his daycare. When he was in daycare, what the daycare was literally $300 a month for both of us, because he was only going part-time. So, I mean, $600 a month, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. $600 a month. So I'm giving her $300 a month on time without her asking. And I think that's a big thing. I feel like, you know, a lot of misconception comes in, not the fact that we will do, it's especially with moms, they're very proactive, most moms, you know? So it's like, she doesn't want to have to ask me for something that I should be giving up freely because it's my child, it's my responsibility. And I think that, you know, starting off with that relationship and just her seeing it transcend every year, there's never an issue, anything he needs, she got it, he got it. And my son's with me minimum 3 days a week, minimally. We mm-hmm. alternate weekends, so sometimes I have him 5 days straight. You know what I mean? So I'm always in the picture. I'm always around when it's necessary, and I always provide. So I'm lucky enough that I don't have any kind of court orders or going through anything legal-wise. But yeah, man, it's cool because my kids are, you know, they love each other. They're best friends. They're always playing. My daughter, she looks up to him. And it's kind of cool to see, like, and I know you've seen it with your boys. You get to see how the older one just kind of takes on that big brother role, you know, and just like kind of looks out for the younger child without you really needing to say that to them or express that to them. Like, hey, you need to look out for him or you need to look out for her. He just kind of does it. And that's always a great feeling, is just see your kids interact with each other. And yeah, man, it's great.
It is. It's listen, the you know, more power to you, man, because, you know, child support is one of those things I don't wish on my worst enemy. You know, that's probably up there with COVID. COVID and child support. I wouldn't wish those two things on anybody I disliked ever in life. You know, but that just speaks volumes to the type of person that you are and the type of boundaries and, you know, just sticking up for yourself, you know. I feel like the biggest issue and mistake I made was, you know, trying to be everybody's yep. friend. And, you know, not sticking up for myself when I really needed it to. Because, of course, by the time when you're tired of this shit and you're ready to speak up for yourself, then that's when, oh, you're just doing this because you're with yep. this person. Oh, you're just doing this because you're trying to get back at me. This is not going to help the kids. And then, you know, my reason is not because I'm with somebody, but it's because I can't afford to pay child support, but I want to do more for my children other than what I'm already doing, but I can't because I'm paying you the money to do those things that you told me that you needed to do that you couldn't do.
Right.
You know, so, you know, it's one of those things where it's a gray area. And I think until the day I'm off of it, it's always going to be a part of me that I just don't fucking like.
And you know, the sad part with that is I feel like, honestly, especially in Pennsylvania, so I'll speak on our state, and this is just from knowing what you're going through, knowing what my other friends
you know, are going through, and seeing what my own dad went through, because my dad has four children, two of them with my mom and then two with two other women. Seeing, you know, that effects that it had on me as a kid growing up, him never having extra money for us mm-hmm. to really get us the things that he wanted to, or him never really having, he's working all this overtime. I never see him, but then when I do see him and we want to go do something, he still doesn't have the money. You know, it's a hard thing to watch. It's a hard thing for anybody to go to. And I kind of think to myself, like, if you didn't have such a, and I'll say corrupted system, because I feel like the child support system is just not fair at all, especially towards the father. But
right.
If the women themselves, if some of the women weren't as greedy, that money that's being sent to child support, that's being sent to the woman to do whatever it is that she's doing, the mom, it's not always with the best intentions. You know, my good friend of mine, I call him my brother as well. He pays $500 a month in child support for one child. His son's mom, she has another daughter by another guy. He's also paying child support. I don't know how much. What I do know is that she walks around in Gucci shoes and her son hasn't had a haircut in 3 months. And that kind of stuff to me is where I'm just like, see, it's not really benefiting the child as much as it's benefiting the co-parent. And if that money could be, you know, the father had access to more of the funds, and I'm not saying it's every father, because, you know, there are some guys out there that aren't doing what they're supposed to do. But if I know for a fact, if you had access to, you know, some of that extra money, if you weren't giving it away in child support, what could you do with that to better yourself, which in turn betters your children? Or what could you do with that money, put it aside for them for when they want to go to college or for whatever it is that they want to do? You know, and I feel like that's one of the things that we were able to agree on, is that anything that betters myself and puts me in a better financial situation, puts me in a better position for my health, whether it be physical or mental, Leah was always 100% on board. Whether that be I had to travel, whether I was going to be away from home for 3 weeks at a time, if it benefits me and then it benefits Chase, then why not? And I feel like people don't really think about that. They're just thinking about, oh, well, it's coming into me. And then you have these knucklehead women, for lack of better terms, simply living off the child support and not doing anything else themselves. And it's shitty.
Right. And yeah, it's very, very, very important, man. And it's crazy because I was listening to the conversation my wife was having upstairs, but make sure she wasn't talking shit about me.
I'm like, you watching the game or something over there, bro? You got zoned.
No, man. I'm stuck in my dungeon in the basement, and no game. I was going to watch wrestling, but I was like, I was patiently waiting for you to give me a call, you know. So, but yeah, and I know we were talking, and you had posted the other day about a picture, because right now you still are in the Poconos,
I'm in Scranton,
right?
Pennsylvania. So it's about 30 minutes from the Poconos, but yeah, pretty much same thing.
Yeah, pretty much. I know when I went there for your baby shower, there was no damn service.
There's service where I'm at now. Oh, but yeah, it's more city like over here.
Okay. So you had posted a picture, and it was a picture, like, one side said Biden, the other said, like, Trump.
Hello? Did I lose you?
Yeah. So, no, I was saying to you, I saw the picture that you had posted, and it saw how, like, crazy it was. And I think that started having us talk about, you know, you being half black, and half Spanish. Because your last name is Hernandez. So how does that work out for you with having to, you know, deal with being, you know, being black and also being Spanish as well, too?
It's kind of, I feel like they're the same. And the reason I say that is because, so from a visual standpoint, if you see me in person, you don't say, oh, he's Hispanic. You would say, oh, he's black or African-American because I'm of a little bit of a darker skin tone, right? My nationality, I'm Puerto Rican and Haitian. That's my exact nationality. But when you see me, right, anybody in the world, when they see me, they don't say, like I said, he's Hispanic. Now, the difference is if you see a Hispanic person with very light skin, instantly you're like, okay, they're Hispanic. But how it affects us in the world, we're treated pretty much the exact same. So it kind of annoys me and it makes me feel away when I see certain Hispanics acting like, not to say they're better than us, but acting like the rules don't apply to them, if you know what I mean. Like, they fall within the same social standing as, you know, some white people do. And I don't mean that in a derogatory sense. It's just that white privilege is alive and well. It's not anything you can shy away from. You turn on any social media outlet, any news channel, you're going to see things, especially right now in the world, about racial injustice. A bigger thing this year than it has in the past. And whether you're black or Hispanic, you fall right into the same mix, you know? You're going to get profiled the same way. You get pulled over by a cop, you're going to get profiled the same way. Whether you're black or Hispanic, you're going to get profiled the same exact way. And so this picture that you're referring to, I walked into get an oil change out here at a local mom and pop car repair center in Scranton. And when I walked inside, there were signs up and there was a split down the middle, which window you could go to. And the window on the left, it said Biden believers. And the window on the right said Trump supporters, make America great again, XYZ. And literally you had to like choose which side you're going to. Are you going to the left side window or are you going to the right side window? So me being a God-fearing black man, and I know how things work out here, you know, I went to the Trump side because I was afraid of what was going to happen if I didn't. Mm-hmm. Am I going to get crappy service? Are they going to charge me more? Are they going to do something to my car? Now I have a different problem than what I came in for. I just went in for an oil change. That was it. Very simple. So I walk in and I find myself like, are we dead ass? Like, are we serious with this? And then I have to figure out, all right, am I going to the left or am I going to the right? Now, I don't really have a political standpoint, and I don't want to really get into politics too much, but I'm not saying that one side is better than the other. I just want to make that clear. I'm not saying that by going to the Trump side, it was the wrong thing to do, or not going to the Biden side. I'm not picking a side here. I just know that in my area, most of the people in my area are Trump supporters. I would say I'd be willing to put a good 75% of the people that live in my area, the Scranton, Wilkes-Barre area, are Trump supporters primarily. So for that reason alone, that is why I chose that side. So I just wanted to be clear, because when you do have, you know, we have our viewers and our listeners, I don't want them thinking, you know, we're bad mouthing one side or the other. Everybody's entitled to have their own opinion as far as politics goes.
Yeah, I don't do the politics. I do what's right and what's wrong. You know, and that's not saying that I know what's right and what's wrong, because there's some things I do in life that are right and there's some things I do in life that are wrong. But the core common sense and decency of seeing another human being in pain and hurting, and I called you my friend, or I called you, or whatever the case may be, we shared a drink together, I spent the night at your crib, you spent the night at my, whatever case may be, we spent time together, we worked, whatever case may be. So if you know that these things are hurting me as your friend, as you say I am, and for that not to resonate, for you not to even acknowledge how I feel, Yeah, I think that's where I gotta draw the line at. And you know, so you know, I think that's what me and you were talking about the other day. Like, look, I'm not pro Trump. I'm not pro Biden. I'm pro humankind. And you know, at the end of the day, I always speak about how these policies that these that they make that, you know, don't really even affect us. You know, they don't even have a blotch on our class as, you right. know, people. And you know, people say, well, Obama didn't do nothing for Black people. Yeah, but I know when that motherfucker went up on stage or spoke, he spoke as a right. human being. You know, so yeah, it can be like, well, you want somebody to talk or somebody's going to do something. Well, in as far as I remember as a remembering a president when I was the first president I remember was George Sr. as a president. Okay. From George Sr. to Bill Clinton to George, you know, the Bush Jr. to Obama, I haven't seen anything except for like prison reform acts and, you know, shit that black people are. But they were Republicans, they were Democrats, it didn't matter. You know, so why am I looking at a class, you know, a party that I don't even, you know, understand what y'all do to begin with? But I know, you know, when a president needs to speak, they should be able to speak, and I should feel like, okay, I'm part of the United right. States. You know, not like, oh, this motherfucker gonna have people coming after us.
And that's the other thing that drives me nuts. You know, when I see like, you know, people of Hispanic descent literally supporting this man so much. I literally the other day I watched this lady on Facebook go back and forth defending Trump and being just like his biggest supporter to one of my Facebook friends. Her last name was Hernandez, which is what like annoyed me even more because we have the same last name. But her profile picture was literally a picture of her with the Puerto Rican flag behind her. But then she had a font going across the front, like a banner that said, I'm a Trump girl. And I was like, these things just don't go together, lady. He did nothing for Puerto Rico. They're still suffering. And he didn't even acknowledge that he was the president of Puerto Rico when everything went down. He said specifically that he was waiting to get in touch with the president of Puerto Rico. And it's like, that's you, sir. So it's like, you know, these are the things that I just don't understand when I see, you know, certain people of a certain descent, especially like the Latino Hispanic community, you know, going so hard to support this man. It's like, what has he actually done for you?
Right. Right. And then, yeah. So when I see people that's not riding with us or, you know, that's not feeling how we feel, it's like your people have been persecuted, you know, throughout history. You know, I just feel like it's the time where we should all band together and look at what our ancestors have done. If you're Asian, you already know what your people have been through. If you're Spanish, you already know what your people have been through. If you're Black, we already know what our people went through. And it's like, why are we going against what they went through instead of taking that and running with it, you know? And I don't know what it is. I don't know why, but it's good to know that I know people who are human, and they understand what it is to feel.
Right.
And I mean, that's really what it comes to. When I look at, you know, it's so many people I lost, friends that I thought were friends or acquaintances that we're not talking anymore because just I'm not okay with you siding with somebody who doesn't care about, you know, people. I don't think nobody should, you know. I don't hate nobody. It's just that I just feel like it's a time where we should be human more than a Democrat or Republican or independent. It should just be what's right and what's wrong. And until that time happens, man, we're always going to be, you know, looking at the you know, the elephant in the room, you know?
Yep. It's definitely something that I feel like people just aren't comfortable addressing. But it's more and more you tell every day that as a society, you know, I don't want to say things are changing, but people are being more vocal. Like Will Smith said it the best, you know, it's not getting worse. It's being filmed. We have access to more technology. Yeah. Everybody has a smartphone. Everybody has a camera on their person at will, ready to record, you know, these events and these things that happen on a day-to-day basis that have been going on for years. But we didn't really have the technology or the means at the time to make it as widespread and make it as much of an issue as it is now. I mean, if you look, what?
Right.
And I could be a little uneducated on this, but if you look, what, 5 to 10 years ago, it wasn't as widely accepted to be a gay person as it is now. They can get married in a lot of states.
Not at all.
You know what I mean? They have rights just like everybody else, which they should have the entire time. I 100% support it. But you can see that, you know, the social progression, yes, it takes time. So I'm hopeful that when Chase is in his pre-teens, by the time he's, you know, 13, 14, that a lot of this drama and stress that we as Black citizens deal with, and, you know, being paranoid that your Black son is out in the street and anything can happen to him at any time. I hope that some of that, you know, dies down and it's the racial injustice can kind of go away almost as much as, you know, obviously there's still people out there that don't agree with being gay or that community, but it, like I said, it's more widely accepted. So I'm just hoping that, you know, by the time he becomes of age, a lot of this prejudice has gone away, or at least, you know what I mean? There's laws in place. There's right. different things going on to help make the situation better, make the country a better place for everybody. But
I was telling you, what I usually do at the end of my show is I always do a takeaway. And then I say I was going to let you go because I know you got to go in with the family, you know, with the fiance. Right. She probably missed your ass. So I got it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what I took away from our talk today was just, you know, being yourself and listening. You know, I remember you saying, like, you know, are we listening to, you know, talk, or are we listening to, you know, game? And I feel like lately I haven't been doing listening to game, you know, so I feel like I'm going to incorporate that into my life this week and just see if it just changes. Maybe just one or two conversations, right. You know?
I mean, I appreciate that, yeah. I definitely think it's something that everybody, you know, should get a little bit better at. I can be bad at it myself sometimes, too. So it's definitely something I try and, you know, practice what I preach.
Mm-hmm. And, he's like, yo, tell my man to get you off of this phone. So, one last thing, yo, is I'm on episode 8 of God of High School, and it's an amazing show. So I appreciate you really sticking and putting me onto it.
You got to read the manga. That's
yeah,
gets better.
Have you been reading Boruto?
Yes, actually, I am up to date on Boruto. Yep, they're fighting.
Okay. But
the real Jigen, I forget his name again, but the actual Jigen. Boruto right. Using his car.
So, I'll text you.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you.
All right. Well, yep. And all right. So, to my viewers, it's been a pleasure. This has been another episode of Melanin Dads. Chris, take care of yourself. Your beautiful family, man. I love you so much, and thanks for talking to me.
Love you too, man. Be safe.